open up to Galatians chapter 1 and hold your place there for a moment. Galatians chapter 1. So we're continuing this with this theme. How do we operate in the full capacity as believers with authority? Because we want to operate in our full capacity. There are things that can work against it and things that can diminish our authority, but we want to operate in our full capacity as believers with authority. We looked at two weeks, we looked at the first one. Don't think and act like the world. Now, I'm not going to recap on these. You can always go back to the podcast. Don't think and act like the world, because the more we think and act like the world, the less we are going to operate in authority. That's number one. Secondly, don't remain unskilled in the word. We need to develop our faith. We start as babies, but God doesn't expect us to stay as babies. He wants us to grow in our faith. I'm going to look at two this morning. The first one, don't seek the approval of people and don't speak unauthorized words. All right? So the first one, Galatians chapter 10. Oh, 1. There's no 10 in Galatians. Galatians 1, verse 10. Now, we want the scripture to speak to us this morning. So what do I mean by this? Don't seek the approval of people. Now, what we have here, and when we talk about this, is, you know, people-pleasing or approval addictions. There are some people that spend all their life pleasing. They please mum, they please dad, they please a teacher, they please a boss, they please their husband, they please their wife. It's all about pleasing, 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 and most of them are miserable. We're not to please man. We please God. So what are some of the effects of, you know, approval addictions? And that's a good way to describe it. Performance addictions. You know, being addicted to others' approvals can result in depression, guilt and shame, fear or rejection, or unworthiness. All those things can be a product of being addicted to approval. And the only approval we need is from God. That's the only approval we need. And this word tells me that God loves us. He finds no fault in us. People think he does, but he doesn't, because he says, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. Well, if he doesn't remember our sins, you shouldn't either. So let's have a look at the word and see what the word has to say about this, because there's a fair bit in this morning. Look at Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He says these words, For do I now persuade men or God? This is a King James. Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The New Living Translation says this, obviously I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Now, if you go to Galatians chapter 2, and I want to read this from the New Living Translation, we see an example where Paul puts this into practice. You know, and Paul describes, you know, Peter and James and John as pillars of the church, pillars of the church. You know, but Paul has reason to challenge them. Why? Because he's not seeking approval from men. Look at verse 9 of Galatians chapter 2. It says this, and this is the New Living. In fact, James, Peter and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do. Now look at this. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face. This is Paul opposing Peter. one of the pillars of the church. Now, was Paul justified in doing it? Absolutely. Have a look at why. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians, the non-Jews, who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism, approval of men. From these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. So here's Peter eating with non-Jews until the Jews arrived, and then he withdrew from that. He withdrew from that because he knew that they wouldn't approve of that. And then, of course, it says he was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. Verse 13, as a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy. And even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. So Paul was critical of the hypocrisy of Peter because what he did was wrong. He wasn't a people pleaser. Now, go with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Hallelujah. John chapter 9, and we'll see something here. If you study out John, the chapter 9 of John chapter 9, its entirety, it's the story where Jesus heals a man that was from birth blind. From birth. And of course, this stirred up the Pharisees, the religious elite of the day. They didn't like it because not only did he heal this man, but he healed him on the Sabbath day. God forbid that we should heal someone on the Sabbath day and do good. But this is why Jesus, spoke about the hypocrisy of the religious system, because, they'd pull their donkey out of a pit on the Sabbath, but we don't go healing people. Well, religion hasn't changed. People will keep you in bondage with religion, but this book's not religious. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a religious system. We're free people, and this word is what keeps us free. Get off this word, you won't be free. 3 days out of this book, you'll sound like the world, you'll act like the world, you'll talk like the world. 3 days, just get out of this book for 3 days and you'll talk like the world. You've got to stay in the Word of God so we can do all God's called us to do. But I want to get down to verse 19. Verse 19. Because they wanted to check on the parents whether this man was truly born blind, because there was some dispute. No, that's him. He was born blind. And some said, oh, he looks like him. No, it's not him. So they wanted to speak to the parents of this individual. Now look at it. Verse 19. And they asked him, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know this is our son and that he was born blind. No problems with that at all. This is our boy. He was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we don't know. We know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Now, what they just said them seems a reasonable thing to say. He's old enough. Ask him. But look at the motive that's written in Scripture as to why they said it. Look at this. These words spoke his parents because they, what? Feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Approval of men. Didn't want to be kicked out of the church. That's the reason why they said it. They didn't want to be thrust out by the Pharisees and the religious elite. Approval of men. And approval of men is dangerous because it can hold you in bondage. Because what is God saying? And this is where the church sometimes can miss between what love looks like according to Scripture and what man's idea of love is. Because some people don't want to, you know, say or do things that might harm someone because we have to love. But doesn't the word say we've got to speak the truth in love? See, when you speak the truth in love, your words are always seasoned with grace. They're never harsh. They're never condemning. They're never controlling. Nothing about the Spirit of God is controlling. Nothing about church is controlling. The moment we control people, we've moved off truth. We can't ever, ever allow a spirit of control in a church. You know, that's why I've got to listen to the Spirit of God and say, God, what do you want me to say? What am I to deliver? I don't want to control people. I want to ensure that people are free by the truth of God's word. So there we have it. They didn't want to do something that would cause them to be out of sorts with the religious hypocrites. Now, let's keep going. Let's go to John 12. John 12. Hallelujah. And let's have a look at Jesus here. John 12, and I want to read from verse, 42. Verse 42. So Jesus had been doing a lot of teaching. And then it says, nevertheless, verse 42 of John 12, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. So these are Jewish leaders. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Does it sound familiar? Sounds familiar? They wouldn't confess him because they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. They believed, but they didn't want to upset the religious elite. Look at the next verse. For they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. We never ever seek the praise of men. We don't exalt men. We lift up Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah. That's the only one we lift up. You don't exalt pastors or leaders or ministries. You know, we can honor them. That's right. And that's good and that's proper. But we don't exalt them. They're ministry callings and ministry gifts. They're not titles. They're callings. And those that exercise that calling correctly and those that labor in the word and in their calling, God will reward. God will reward. That's the only reward that's important, the one that God provides. So we're not here for the approval of people. We want to please God, do we not? Amen. Go to John 5. Just back a little bit. John 5. And I want to read from verse 39. John chapter 5 and verse 39. Again, Jesus gives us some insight here regarding this, you know, seeking the approval of people. And this is important. I don't think any of us could realize just how much of an issue this is. But we've got to do it God's way. And you can do it God's way and walk in absolute love. That's the point. We don't always have to be doing things to please someone because if we don't, they're all going to get out of sorts. That is fear and bondage. That's not the way of the believer, and you're not going to walk in the authority of a believer with that response. We do it God's way. Look what Jesus says in verse 39 of John 5. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they, meaning the scriptures, are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. The New Living Translation, your approval means nothing to me. This is the master talking. I don't receive honor from men. I'm not seeking the approval of people, just like Paul didn't. You know, when Paul was first saved, you know, he didn't confer with flesh and blood, but he separated himself, and that's when God gave him a download of the revelation, the Pauline revelations, justification by faith. Extraordinary. The apostles didn't understand it. Even Peter in one of his letters says, you know, some of the writings of Paul are hard to understand like other scriptures. So he equated them to scripture, and they are. So, you know, Paul wasn't seeking approval of men. Jesus wasn't seeking the approval of men. He spoke what his Father said. Now, you might think, well, that'll get me into trouble. No, when you speak the will of the Father, it'll never get you into trouble. God always backs his word. It might be uncomfortable for some, but when we do the will of the Father, it's never uncomfortable for us because it always comes with great peace. Now, I want to show you an example in the Old Testament. Go to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel 15. And I want you to see the consequence of people pleasing. The consequence. Now, I'm going to give you a summary of 1 Samuel 15. So Saul is the king of Israel. Now we know why he's the king of Israel, because the people of Israel demanded a king. And God said, well, I'll give you a king, but this is the sort of king you'll get. And even though God warned them that the king you're going to get is not going to be the best you want over you, they still demanded a king. So God gave them what they want. God will give you what you want. It may not be good for you, but God will give you what you want if you demand it long enough. Seek the Lord and let the peace be with that seeking. So Saul receives instructions from the Lord to tell King Saul, it's time for me to have vengeance against the Amalekites. Because when Israel came out of Egypt, the Amalekites attacked them. And God said, I will remember that day and I will avenge Israel. And now he says, it's time. So the instruction God gives Saul is this: I want you to wipe out the men, the women, the children, and the infants. Now, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it to this audience. How would God stand up before the UN Assembly today with that instruction? How would he stand up? I'm going to wipe out the men, the women, the children, and the infants because of their wickedness. I don't think the UN would appreciate it, would they? That was God's instruction. Do you think God missed it? Did God miss it? No. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God fights for his people. He fights for the Jews and he fights for the Christians. Stay on the God side of everything, all the time. There's a God side and there's a man side. When you understand the God side, the man side's a whole lot easier. That's why you've got to spend time in the Word of God. The instructions, wipe them. So he arranges a mighty army to do just that. And he does that to a point. He wipes them all out. But when it comes to livestock and the sheep and the cattle and the lambs, no, he decides to keep them. And anything that's refuse and rubbish, destroys. But if it's good and valuable, keeps. And of course, what about the king? He kept the king alive. Kept him alive. And of course, Samuel turns up and says, did you do what you were told to do? And he says, yes, I've done it all. And he says, well, what's this bleating of sheep and lowing of cattle? You know, moo. What's all this I hear? He says, no, we did everything. We've taken all the spoils of war, and I've got the king, and we've taken some of the livestock, and I'm going to distribute that as the spoils of war. He says, God has rejected you. Because you didn't do the will of the Father. You've been rejected as king. Whew. God wanted that wicked group of people to be punished for what they did to his children. Can I say, fast forward to today, there are nations that are going to be punished for what's happening to his children today. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, it's going to happen. You may see it and I may see it in our lifetime, depending on where we are at in this end time move that's happening. But we must be awake, children, all of us as children of God, to what God's doing in this hour. Be awake to the Spirit. What is he doing in this hour? Because he's moving. Moving. So, go with me to verse 22. Look at verse 22. So here's, you know, here was Saul defending himself. I've done all the things you asked me to do. And of course, you know, he was totally deceived. In fact, actually read verse 20. Saul said to Samuel, 1 Samuel 15 verse 20. Saul said to Samuel, yes, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. And I wrote in my Bible, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. But the people took of the spoils, sheep and oxen, and of the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord your God in Gilgal. Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. The New Living says, rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. We all need to hear that, people. It's as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshipping idols. Now I'm going to say this. We need to hear this. We can come into church on Sunday. We can give good offerings. We can do all the things that, you know, we want to sacrifice ourselves to the Lord. But are we obeying his word? Are we living lives that are actually aligned to his word? Or we're not? I'm just putting it out there. It's for me too. Because all those other things don't count for much if we're actually not living according to the truth of his word. Are we living holy lives before the Father? And thinking that all those other things will count if we're not. Because they won't. Just like this man here. Say it again. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, is as sinful as witchcraft. Stubbornness as bad as worshipping idols. That's the word of God. And of course, look at verse 24. And this is what I want to get to. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words. Listen to the next words. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He feared people, obeyed the voice, and that cost him his kingship. Cost him his kingship. Don't seek approval of people. I'm not saying this is easy, but we need to resist that because it never ends well, spiritually speaking, and it will compromise your and my authority as believers. If we want to operate in authority as believers, we're not moved by the opinions of people. If I was to do that at this pulpit, I wouldn't preach what I preach. But I'm not moved by people. I've got to stand before God one day and give account. Not before Betty or Jim or Joe or Jack. I've got to stand before the Lord God Almighty. I have to do that. I've got to give an account because he says those that teach have a higher accountability. Now you think about it, because I can send you down a godless path, or I can speak the truth in love and you receive it and you walk in great victory. Remember, I can speak it, but it's got to be received as well. If it's the word, receive it. If I'm just giving you stories, don't. But if it's in the book, it's between you and God what you do with that. But remember, stubbornness and rebellion costs. So we don't want to do that. So he says, I feared the people and obeyed their voice. And of course, you can make a note of it, Proverbs 29 And verse 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. That's a trap, a hook, or a noose. The fear of man brings a snare. We don't want to allow our lives to be hooked because we fear people. Now, you'll get opportunities this week. I'm telling you, this week, to test this. You'll have opportunities for you to be tested this week, I am sure, where you can make a stand. Is it, hang on, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm going to make a stand about this. Now, am I asking you to be difficult, hard-nosed, and no, not at all. Everything we do has got to be based on love. We've got to respond in love. We speak the truth in love. Our words are seasoned with grace. We extend grace and mercy and love to all people. So don't think that I'm saying that we get angry. That's not the Spirit of God. If you're an angry person, then you need to develop in your faith. Because you haven't got that spirit. You've got a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So where does your anger come from? It comes from the flesh, which still wants to dominate your spirit because your spirit hasn't matured. That's where anger comes from. That's where you get those, you know, wow moments where you just react out of the flesh because there's not that maturing. But we've got to mature. If we're going to wear the full armor of God and we're going to take a stand against, you know, our adversary, the devil, whom resist steadfast in the faith, then we've got to be mature. Now, that's good for us to hear, isn't it? We want to be mature. That's a good thing. We want to be strong because we want to bring down that adversary and keep him under our feet, which is where he belongs. He's defeated. He's got no authority. He's got no power. And we can keep him at bay by putting our heel on his head. That's where he belongs. Not whispering in our ears 24/7. And he will, if you let him. And can I say this? If you get a hint of fear about anything, it's demonic. Cast it out straight away. Don't go to bed at night and think about something or all day pondering something and you've got this fear resonating on the internet. Fear is not okay. Fear is demonic and dangerous and it damages people's lives. You know, wonderful, precious Christians, God's beautiful people, so many of them abound in fear because they won't make a stand against the devil whom God has told them to resist. Because they're all waiting for God to do something. Can I tell you, church? You'd be waiting a long time for God to move on your behalf when he's already moved to Calvary's cross. He's given us all the authority, all the power, all the weapons, everything. It's all backed by heaven and we have the name above every name, the name of Yeshua, Jesus, Messiah. You use that name, every devil in hell shudders. Do you think devils would have hung around in our worship this morning? I don't think so. They're not hanging around here listening to, you know, Hallelujah Adonai. And you can do that in your house. If you feel oppression coming in, sing songs of praise to him. They're not going to hang around, people. This is Bible. This is not some religious thing. This is Bible. All right. So Samuel failed to obey the command of the Lord. He's deceived. He bought the lie. To obey is better than sacrifice. And of course, Saul feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, I want to move into the second one this morning for the sake of time. So there's just some scriptures about don't seek the approval of people. Seek the approval of God. In other words, be a God pleaser. How do you be a God pleaser? How do you please God? What does the Bible say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith. We have to have faith to please God. And it's not because he's angry. It's because without faith, you'll never get the blessing from heaven. You can't receive the blessing of God without faith. Faith takes the grace from heaven and brings it to earth. You're saved by grace through faith. You're healed by grace through faith. You prosper and God meets your needs by grace through faith. The two are always operating together. The grace is the supply. Faith is the delivery system. You must exercise your faith to bring the supply from heaven to earth. All right. Now, go with me to John chapter 14. Don't speak unauthorized words. unauthorized words. Well, what is an unauthorized word? Words that are void of power and authority. That's what an unauthorized word is. So can I suggest to you this morning that pretty much everything you speak that doesn't reflect the word of God is unauthorized. Because if it isn't in the word, it's void of power and authority. That means we all might have to do a bit of a check up from the neck up to see how we're going with our authorized words, because all of us speak a lot of things that have no power and have no authority, and most of those words need to be uprooted and stillborn, because we don't want them to produce a harvest after their own kind, because words are seed. Now, we're not talking, you know, we're not going to do a big study on this morning, but words are seed, and it's words that produce. Faith is word activated. We operate in a word activated system. So faith is word activated. You speak and it produces, good or bad, life or death, blessing or curse. Your choice. Your choice, my choice. I've chosen life, people. As for me and my house, as Joshua said, we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord. There's not even up for debate or question. I've got no interest in the world. I've got no interest in television. I've got no interest in any of that stuff. I listen to the world media only to know what's going on so I can pray into things. But I don't seek my direction from the world's media. I seek it from the Spirit of God. I seek it from the Spirit of God. All that does is tell me there are things happening in the world. And I say, Father, what are you telling me about this? Be very careful and cautious with that. So, John 14. John 14, verse 10. Firstly, he says this. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? In other words, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. The New Living says this. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak are not my own, but the Father who lives in me does his work through me. Don't miss that. He says, the words that I speak, they're not mine. I'm just not speaking anything that I want to speak. No, they're his. And I listen and then I say what he says. They're not my words. So, you know, we could say unauthorized words are words that aren't the Father's words. There's a lot of things we can speak that aren't authorized. Remember, if we want to walk in authority, we want to speak words that are authorized, because God's only going to back the words that he backs. He's not going to back our unbelief. God doesn't back unbelief. Do you know that? You pray a prayer, a faithless prayer, it won't even get to the throne. I don't care if you pray it in Jesus' name. If it's faithless, it's not going to get to the ear of the Father. Only faith can please him. And then those angels that are all waiting around to go on assignment when God says go, they're all just folding their wings, because we're pleading and begging God, 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 help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. And he says, what did my word say? Speak to the mountain. Submit, resist, he'll flee. Resist steadfast in the faith. Declare it, bind, loose. What you bind on in heaven is bound in earth. What you loose in heaven is loosed in the earth. All these things, they're the things that are going to get God's unwavering attention. So, Jesus said in the New Living, speak not of my own. I don't speak my own words. Now go to 12, just go back to one chapter and then look at the last two verses of chapter 12. And I want to read this from the New Living Translation. John 12, verse 49 and 50. John 12, 49 and 50. Hallelujah. And it says this, Jesus' words, I don't speak on my own authority. This is Jesus, the Son of the living God. God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He says, I don't speak on my own authority. Wow. The Father who sent me, he commands me what to say and how to say it. Can I ask this? Have we been sent? Have we been sent? Of course we've been sent. Go into all the world. Sow the seeds of the kingdom of God. Preach the gospel. So just like he was sent, we've been sent. Well, he says, I don't speak anything outside of what he says. Well, that's something for us then. Keep reading. I'll read it again. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. What to say and how to say it. And I know his commandments lead to eternal life, so I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Now, isn't that interesting? He says, he tells me what to say, but he also tells me how to say it. So let's come back to the, you know, this approval of people thing. God will speak to you when you have to, you know, speak lovingly to someone. Not only will God tell you what to say, he will tell you how to say it. Because it's always going to value add to somebody, not take from them. You know, God doesn't crush us. When God brings correction to his children, he doesn't crush us. We walk away thinking, you know what, I probably needed that. Thank you, Father. And we go on and we keep walking with our Lord. So, you know, we want to think the same. He'll not only tell you what to say, but how to say it. They're authorized words. And they're the words that are going to be backed with power and authority. Hallelujah. So have a look at Luke chapter 1. Let's have a look at Zechariah, which is the father of John the Baptist. Now, he was ministering in the temple, and of course, him and his wife, were old. And the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and said, you're going to have a boy. You're going to have a boy, John, and explained all about it. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit at birth. Didn't mean that the Spirit was in him like it is with us. It was upon him. No one could have the Spirit within them until after the cross. So, you know, he's going to come upon him and do all these good things. And this is the angel Gabriel, Gabriel, talking to Zechariah, telling him all these things that are going to come to pass. Now look at verse 18. Remember, we're talking about unauthorized words. Zechariah said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? I mean, here's an angel present in the temple, talking to him. The fact that the angel's present would have to suggest something to you, wouldn't it? There's something a bit different here. Maybe this person is actually saying something of truth, because it's not just anyone, it's an angel of the Lord, and it happens to be Gabriel. All right. He says this, wherefore shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. See, his words were governed by natural circumstances. Just like ours can be often. We look at something and say, well, how's that possible? The doctor said this about me, and how's it possible now that that can change? Well, the doctor's report is fact, correct? That's truth. You've got to believe truth over fact. And you've heard me say this. We don't deny symptoms or prognosis or diagnosis. What the believer should stand against is its authority beyond you. Jesus bore it. So we don't deny a symptom, but we should be standing against that coming on us. We are born again. We're redeemed children of the living God. Jesus bore sickness and sin and pain and weakness and suffering for us so that we could walk in freedom. We're in a sin-fallen world. There's sickness and disease in the earth. The earth is still cursed, but we've been redeemed from the curse. We've been redeemed. So we need to walk in that redemption. So he says, how's this going to happen? Verse 19, the angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God and am sent to speak to you and to show you these glad tidings or this good news. And behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. The angel had to shut the mouth of Zechariah. Now, why is that? Well, think about this, and this might shock some people. Words can abort or delay the plans and purposes of God in your life. Your words can shut down his plan. That's why to shut the mouth of Zechariah. Because God was on a time frame. He was on an agenda. This child was going to be born at a certain time that was a forerunner to Yeshua, Messiah, the one that would be in the wilderness declaring Jesus. Shut his mouth until that baby was born. Don't tell me words aren't powerful. Unauthorized words. How's this going to be? I'm an old man. Really? I'm an old man? How's this going to be? You know, that wasn't a problem for God. Now think about this, and for the sake of time, we're not going to turn there, but if you study out Numbers chapter 13, we often talk about Numbers, and you know, God in Numbers 13 verse 2, you know, basically tells Moses, I've given you the land, now go spy it out. I've given it to you, you've got the land, go spy it out. And of course Moses, you know, organizes 12 leaders from the 12 tribes to go and spy out the land. And they do that and they discover that the land is rich and fertile with wonderful produce. It's got all those good things. But they also discovered that, you know, the walls are big and there's big cities and there's giants of men there. And of course, you know, that put the fear of God into the Israelites. Put the fear of God into them. They said, yeah, we've got all these good things, but, in fact, actually, turn with me. Go to Numbers 13 in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book. Numbers 13. I want you to put your eyes on it so you can see it for yourself. Hallelujah. So they've done their, they've gone and they've come back. And I want to read you from verse 27. Read with me from verse 27. And they told him and said, we came into the land which you sent, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They brought a big bunch of grapes back and pomegranates and all those good things. Nevertheless, which is but, the people be strong, dwell on the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak, the giants of Anak. The Amalekites dwell in the south, and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan. And Caleb, he's a man of faith. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, had they listened to Caleb, they wouldn't have spent 40 years in the wilderness. They wouldn't have spent 40 years in the wilderness had they have listened to him. But they bought the lie. Unauthorized words, because look at it. Verse 31, but the men that went up with them, these are leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. That's it. That killed it right there. Their words cost them 40 years because they were unauthorized. Because if you look at verse 2 in the same chapter, what does God say? Send the men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. He didn't say, I'm thinking about giving it to you. He says, I'm giving it to you. Send them. It cost them. And what that did was melt the hearts of the Israelites. It melted the hearts of the Israelites. And let's keep reading. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Isn't it interesting? Unauthorized words in this case was an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it's a land that eats up the inhabitants. This is their confession. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. So? We have governments today that want to introduce godless agendas. So, did that change God? Has that changed God's plans and purposes? Has that removed the authority of the believer in the earth today? Of course it hasn't. We don't need to listen and bow to the wicked agenda. Why don't we be like that? Those, you know, wonderful Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, or Daniel, they weren't going to bow to a king statue. And Daniel certainly wasn't going to bow to an edict which said he couldn't pray other than to the king for 30 days. When he heard it, he opened up his doors and he prayed the same every day. Didn't move him at all. And did God deliver them? Yep. Don't be moved by things. Keep with the book. Stay with it, because they spoke unauthorized words. And verse 33, and they saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in theirs. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And if you study out Joshua, you'll find out that the land of Joshua, where he was taking over in Canaan, they feared the Israelites. The Israelites thought that they were grasshoppers. But in fact, the people in the land of Canaan heard about God's delivering power at the Red Sea and all the things that God did since then, and they feared Israel. Unauthorized words. One more and then I'm finished this morning. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There are two things that can hinder us speaking with authority. Just for your information, I'll give you a scripture verse. But go to 2 Corinthians 5. Traditions of men make the command of God of no effect. That means it's deprived of force and authority. So if you want to make a note of that, it's in Matthew 15, 1-6. Traditions of men can limit our ability to speak with authority, and not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God will lead to error. Not knowing the scriptures or the power of God can lead to error. And that's Matthew 22, verse 29. Faith begins where the will of God is known. When we know the word, we can operate in faith. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translations of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. And I'll read from verse 17. And I just want to finish this morning with the fact that we're ambassadors for Christ, are we not? Well, ambassadors only speak what the head of state directs them to speak. We don't speak anything outside of that. So the ambassador only speaks the words of those that send him or her. Now look what it says in Scripture. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. New Living. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Don't you love that? He no longer counts it against us. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal to us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's the gospel. Not placards saying, you know, you're all going to hell in a handbasket. That doesn't work. That's not the gospel. He says, come back to God. God loves you. He's not condemning. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save the world. And did he save the world? Okay. All they need to know is that there's a loving God that saves. So we need to speak, you know, with authority. And when we speak with authority, we speak with power. And when we speak with power and authority, devils don't like it, but that's okay. All they can do is listen on. Use your authority. Use the power that God has given you. Use the name and stay what the word says. When you pray prayers in line with the word. So just summarizing this morning, we don't seek the approval of people. Don't seek it. Seek God's approval. And don't speak unauthorized words. Words that don't align to the word of God are not authorized. They're not backed by heaven. They don't have power. They don't have authority. And their words, you know, just void of impact. Void of power, void of authority. But as long as we speak with authority and we seek the approval of God, we're going to continue to walk in our authority as believers. Amen? Amen? Let's pray.